I thought in the message this morning, honor where honor is due. And we need to take the time to recognize those that are indeed worthy of honor. Now, we say all glory and honor and power is given unto God. And we know that to Him be all the glory forever and ever. And that's true. None can touch the glory of God. But yet, when we see the word honor in Scripture, as we see it in our text for today, as we see it even in the Ten Commandments, we learn that the word honor means we give credit to, we give an honest appraisal of, an evaluation to show the value of something. And as we come to Mother's Day and we look at those who are responsible for each and every one of us being here, I was thinking earlier today, I was thinking, you know, it's going to come a day where, you know, your mother is a test tube or something like that, and you say, well, here's my mom over here, here's my mama. Well, my mama's a beaker, a K928 or something like that, but that may not happen. I don't know. But literally, every one of you had a mother at one point or another, right? Correct me if I'm wrong. Okay, thank you. Thanks, Lamar. So. Sure. I met her, too, so I know that she exists. So anyway, but you give honor to who honor is due. So it's easy to identify that particular situation. Exodus chapter 20, in the Ten Commandments, tell us this, to honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. And so we see this a promise made to them. So if you honor your parents, you honor your father, and you honor your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord has given you. And most that generally holds true. That if you are respectful in your own home, then you may be respectful out in the community as well, and you will tend to do well in life, as we'll see throughout the text this morning. The thing is, what I've come across in my phase of life that I'm in now, is that we see the generations, our parents, going into their elder years, I'm learning that it's quite a task to go through. So several of you in the church have dealt with aging parents and have had to deal with that. I know Peter and Nelda have dealt with that extensively, and they're still dealing with that. Nelda is doing well, by the way, in her recovery from her surgery, and they are extremely grateful for all the meals that have been brought to their home. And the doctor told her she had to stay home for 3 more weeks. I said, you're not getting 3 more weeks worth of food out of us, though, but they're enjoying the meals, and I appreciate you guys giving of your time and efforts in that. But they've been dealing with that. And as the population ages and as the longevity of life increases, it's constantly more and more in that oldest generation that in some cases need special care. And what is the role as children of these mothers that are growing older? Well, what is the role of children as fathers as they grow older? Well, what is the role as the church when we see the elderly around us, the number of elderly increase almost exponentially even in this past generation? Well, I think Timothy received some wise counsel from the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 5 when it comes to dealing with this very issue. Look, if you will, I know the text for this morning in the bulletin says that we are to be looking beginning in the third verse, but look at chapter 5 in the first verse of 1 Timothy. It says, do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, with all purity. Honor widows who are really widows, but if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. Now she who is really a widow and left alone, trust in God, and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. But she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives, and these things command that they may be blameless. If anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And may the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word. So how do we deal with this? Our parents are getting older. We are getting older as time goes by. I know Sarah's already made her declaration about what she's going to do with us when we get old. She made that clear. My mom always told me that if she ever got to the point where she needed to go to a nursing home, take her out behind the barn and shoot her. Well, two problems there. One, we don't have a barn. And Mama said, I would, but it's illegal. I can't do that. So, and when we first started talking about places, retirement communities, where elderly people live, the only thing she could associate with that was the old nursing home that we had back in Monroe, which is very much like a nursing home around here. And, you know, there's different levels of care. There's nursing homes. There's independent living. Martha lives in an independent living residency in a very nice place. And then there's the retirement communities or independent living communities that some of these places look like world-class resorts. I can't wait to see Betty's. It's going to be amazing. So after visiting some of those this past year, I'm thinking, hey, I'm ready to go ahead and move on in there. It looks like a good plan to me. So there are options out there when it comes to that, but what do we do as parents? What do we do as children? What do our children need to be thinking about now as we look ahead to the future? Where does the role of the church fit in, and where do our responsibilities as children come in? First thing I wanted to see is the responsibilities of the child. The responsibilities of the child. We see in the first two verses of our text, it says, honor, in verse 3, honor widows who are really widows, but if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. Honor those widows who are really widows. Now, there's two classifications here. There's widows, and then there's really widows. And a widow could be described in the fourth verse, those that have children and grandchildren. Some translations say nephews there. But it's the elderly that still have family to care for them. And then there's the group of really widows that has no one to care for them, no one to tend to their needs, no one to help them. Remember, back in the days of the Bible, we didn't have the government structures that we have today to come in. They didn't have Social Security. They didn't have pensions. They didn't have all these savings that they could draw upon for a nice, comfortable retirement. No, it had to follow. Either you had to do your own planning yourself, or it was the responsibility of the family to care for those that was getting older. Of course, life expectancies were a lot less then, and now we see, with the aging population, we see this boom taking place. You know, I mentioned in a sermon just a few weeks ago about God's three institutions, the family, the church, and the government. And we really see these three playing a role today in our society when it comes to the elderly. This is a Social Security chart here. This is those Social Security recipients, those participants of the Social Security system. And this is the government's role. Okay, this is what we see now. They take money out of our paychecks through our lifetime. Hopefully it's returned to us as we get older. But you see in the millions there, it's just above 25 million recipients, beneficiaries in 1970. But by the year 2015, it's projected to be over 55 million. How many of you have been here in your whole life? Social Security is going to run out. There's not going to be enough for me whenever I get to that point. They say it over and over and over again. It always seems like it's about 20 years out. But the point is, though, should we be trusting in the government to care for our needs as we get older? Or can we plan better than that? How about the role of the family? What should we be doing, and how should we be caring for our elderly? Should we not be planning ahead for our own senior days to where we can be comfortable when we retire and have the things that we truly need, the essentials that we need through good planning? As a church, should we not be there to help out those in our community and those within our church and have no one else to care for them as they get older, for all their family has either died or maybe they've never had family at all? You know, when I go to places like where my mom is staying at Independence Village in Raleigh, I just wonder how many visits and how many family members come to see these residents at all, and how many of them are there lonesome. How many of them just have the friends of them that are around them, which is good in itself. Do we need to trust the government to fill our needs? Are we trusting the government to get us through to the end of our days? You know, I was just talking about the role of government. We talked about the marriage amendment, and that's where those three things came from just a moment ago. And I was saying, you know, it's important that we support this aspect of it. And some would say, you know, it's not the government's role to dictate to us what marriage is all about. But if you think about it in this way, the government was established, and we talked about it, it was established for the civil aspects, to maintain order in our society. And it does that. But over the years, it's become a more social aspect. And I think the areas in which the government has stepped into our social lives, if we have an opportunity to interject the Word of God, certainly I believe we ought to do that. But we shouldn't trust in them. It should be up to the family. It should be up to the church. It's their responsibilities. The same verse says that we are to show reverence at home. Reverence at home. We want to show piety at home. We want to show respect at home. It's key there. Piety or reverence starts in the home. And I tell you, I've heard it said many times, if you want to find out what kind of a person a man or a woman is in the home, you ask their children, because they live with them. They see them day in and day out, and they will probably give you an honest appraisal about mama and daddy. They will, because they see every aspect of it. You see, it's easy for us to put on our holiness and put on our godliness as we go out into the world and pretend to be something we're not. But when you're living in the home and you're surrounded by the people in your home, they can see you for who you really are. And if you can maintain a testimony in your home, that's a good sign that you can maintain a good testimony out in the world. Show reverence at home. I like this one. Repay your parents, it says. Repay your parents, all right? What does that mean? Well, that means some of you guys with little children, maybe you've kept count. I don't know. But the average baby goes through 2,190 diaper changes in a year. Is that right, Whitney? Jeremy? Tell me. Let me know. All right. So how many of them have you changed to, Jeremy? I want to know. Grandpa saying zero. Anyway, 2,190 diaper changes. That can be an exciting time. I love changing diapers when my kids were little. Unfortunately, Sarah, I hate to say it, but her being the first, that's where I got my training at right there. And I remember vividly one time back at our nice little changing table that I built out of wood, had a little block with her name on it and everything else. And I was back there and I said, "Oh my goodness, Tanya, come help me." It was not pretty. But before long, I had the one-handed method there. Guys, you know what I'm talking about. You put one leg right there, and just lift them. You know, I got pretty good at it after a while. You learn. You just take some practice, but you can do it. How do you repay your parents for that? Two fingers ain't going to do it. I'm going to have to get a crane in there. I don't know how it's going to work. But, you know, the time's going to happen that dignity. And that's what you pray. That's what I pray for all the elderly, that they can maintain their dignity. And they need that. And our mothers need dignity. And I'm learning that as well. 1,825 baby bottles a year, or feedings a year. So that's a lot of baby bottles to go through. All right. They say if a baby is born today and you raise it through the age of 18, actually born in 2010, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture. How they know this, I don't know, but 226,920 for a child born in 2010 till the age of 18 to raise that child. I figure if the kids repay their parents, Tanya and I are millionaires just about, so it would work out pretty good. It's expensive to do. And we don't think about it when we're young, and it might be a good thing we don't. We don't have any kids in the world, but it's an expensive thing. But God gives you the grace and mercy to be able to do that. I want you to think about, kids, the investment that your parents are making in you, that they love you. They care about you. They take care of your needs, from your diapers, which you don't want to talk about, all the way up until sometimes 18 and sometimes even older than that. And some parents think, I'm never going to quit supporting my child. I know what you're thinking, but yet it's a part of it, okay? To repay your parents, this is part of that respect and part of that honor that's due unto them. It's the responsibility of the child. Secondly, what's the responsibility of the widow? What's the responsibility of the widow? It says in verse 5, "Now she who is really a widow and left alone, trust in God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. But she who lives in pleasure is dead while she still lives." All right, he gives us some guidelines to go by. And a little bit later in the book here, for some of them, it's those that are over 60 years old. It says in verses 9 and 10, but do not let a widow under 60 be taken into the number, unless she's been the wife of one man, well reported of good works, if she has brought up children, if she has lodged strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work. All these things describe the character of one that the church should care for. Those that have been faithful, they've been faithful in their marriages, they've been faithful in their lives, and they've been putting God first in their lives. You know, the church could not help everyone in those days. It couldn't help out everyone in the society, so they helped out their own. They helped out those of their own church that were faithful in what they would do. So the widow had a testimony that went along with them. And then we have these others in verses 11 through 16, but refuse the younger widows that they may have begun to grow wanton in Christ and desire to marry, having condemnation because they have cast off their first faith. And besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. Therefore, I desire the younger widows to marry, bear children, manage the house, and give no opportunity for the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some have already turned aside after Satan. If any believing man or woman has widows, let them relieve them, and do not let the church be burdened, that they may relieve those who are really widows. So those that are serious about their faith, those that are not gossip, those that are not going about just cause stirring trouble, but those that are truly focusing on God and sold out to God, they have a godly characteristic about them. One commentator said this, the widow the church helps should not be a self-indulgent person seeking pleasure, but a godly woman who hopes in God and has a ministry of intercession and prayer. That's what the scripture is saying up there in verse 5. It says, who is left alone, she puts her trust and hopes in God. And she continues in the ministry of intercession and prayer. A godly woman. I'm thankful for the godly men and women we have in the church, the elderly men and women who maybe not have the physical capability to do the things that they once have done. I can think about Martha and how she was, her and Franklin was always so faithful about the plantings around the church and the flowers around the church. And now she's... I would say not physically able, but she was working just as hard as everybody else that other Saturday when we had the work day out here. But yet, I know that she's praying for us every opportunity she gets. Here's the key here, that your usefulness to God never stops. No matter how old you are, your usefulness to God never stops. No matter what abilities you lose, Steve, your usefulness to God never stops. God can use you. And like Steve said in his letter, he's still here. That means God still has a purpose for his life. And if you're here today, you can take a check, you're here, then God's got a purpose for your life. And you need to be seeking that out through supplication and prayer. That's the responsibility of the widow. Not simply to be a burden for, I think about the ones in Acts where they called the first deacons in Acts chapter 6 and said they were complaining because they weren't being ministered to. Well, they didn't have nobody else to minister to them. They had needs. That's one thing. But simply to live in excess and pleasure at the expense of the church is something far different. And even at the expense of the family is something far different. So you see this godliness that's found and a mother. When you look at the virtuous woman, you don't see any of that kind of stuff of the self-indulgency that you see in the one that is described to be virtuous. The responsibilities of the widow. And finally, the results of these responsibilities. We see those in verse 7 and 8. It says, and these things command that they may be blameless. And if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Now, I don't know what kind of relationships that you have with your parents. I don't know what kind of relationship you have with your mom. I don't know if your mom has gone on to be with God, and there were struggles, there were problems that you never was able to make amends with, or for some reason you just don't get to see your mom anymore, and you're not talking for some reason or another. It says in the text, anyone does not provide for his own, especially of his own household, He has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. King James says infidel. You're worse than an infidel there. So what's the results of these responsibilities? It says you'll be found blameless. And these things I command that you be blameless. All right. If you're doing all you can to support the elderly in your church and the elderly in your family, you can be blameless. It's the right way to do things. How many times have we seen and heard of pastors surrendering their ministry? I remember O.T. Hooks, I believe, when he was serving in this church for 6 years, if I'm not mistaken, he left here to go to Florida to care for his aging parents, is what it was. What happens here to me? My aging parents come up here to where we are. So, you know, care for me. Very convenient, by the way. It works out pretty good. So they all seem to follow me here. But it's blameless. There is a responsibility laid. Remember I said on that sermon on the three institutions and family, if you lose your family, you've lost your ministry. It's important that we take care of those in our home. And it's the way of God. It's the will of God. And we are to provide for our own, and rightfully so. You know, if we see someone in our family that has that need, we need to do what we can to meet that need. If we see someone in our church family that has that need, we need to do what we can to meet that need. If you don't, it says you've denied the faith. So wait a minute, my faith's great. Well, if you're not living the walk, if you say you love God and you hate your brother, the Bible says you're a liar. So if we're not living the life, if we're not walking the walk along with just talking the talk, then we're really denying the faith with our own actions. And we need to be faithful in all things, glorifying God, honoring God, giving God the glory for how He's blessed us. And it says He's worse than an unbeliever, worse than an infidel. Why? Because the child of God should know better. These are the results of the responsibilities. To give honor where honor is due. Again, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. One last little thing here. I'm thinking about, all right, he gave some explanation about how the church should handle the elderly, the widows in the church, and gave the conditions. You know, if they're not busybodies, all these other kind of stuff. You know, if they're godly women, they've served their life well, they've lived their life well. We certainly need to do what we can to help those. But what about us in the family? Maybe you didn't have the best upbringing in the church. Maybe somebody else had more godly parents than you did. Maybe God was strangely absent in your home as you were growing up. You know, the commandment still stands. We are still to honor our father and our mother. Well, you don't know my dad. He was a scoundrel. He was rough. He was into this, that, and the other. Doesn't matter. The command was still to honor our father and our mother. You know, I didn't see anything conditional about the commandments there. These are the things that we are to do. And while it may be that there's some the church can help and some the church can't help, we've still got to respect the institution that God has given us in the family and honor our father and our mother. It's our God-given responsibility. And it may very well be it's through that honoring of our father and our mother that even our own parents can see Christ-likeness in us. How many of you have ever had the opportunity to, and I haven't, but how many of you had an opportunity to lead a mom or a dad to the Lord? You can do that with your own life. No matter what kind of upbringing you've had, no matter what kind of parents you've had, the commandment still holds true. It's just like everything else. You honor. We have the honor for the office of president. You may not like the person that's in there. You may love the person that's in there, but we still respect the office. We still are to honor our parents. They may be good. They may be bad. It may be conditional there, but we still honor them because of the office in which they hold. And we need to maintain that as well in our lives. There's responsibilities for the children, responsibilities for the widows, and the results is that if we keep these commands, that we can be blameless. And that's where we want to be, doing the best we can, being the best children of God that we possibly can be, and we can demonstrate that through our relationships, even with our own mothers.